Boker Tov. The young gentleman, is this our last Sunday morning together for a while? Some of us? How many are not going to be here next Sunday? Jess Yaakov. Okay. Anyway, we have a very interesting topic this morning. We're doing a very a summer type of shiur without any Mar Makomos. Mm-hmm. Right? The Mar Makomos are right here. Rabbi Kiv Eger, Avnei Nezer, Marshag, and then two interesting cases. But the goal of this conversation is to really finish up the somewhat of the series we've had on different shilas about doing business on Shabbos and analyzing the Gezerah of Mekach u'Memchar, what's considered a transaction that's problematic on Shabbos. I want to start off, before getting into applications, I want to start off with the famous Rabbi Kiv Eger that we brought up probably 4 weeks ago. Rabbi Kiv Eger has the following case, right? Let's say you have Shabbos Erev Pesach. Generally speaking, when does the rabbi sell the chametz to the non-Jew? Erev Pesach. But if it's Shabbos, you can't do that. Okay, so isn't there a simple solution? Just sell it on Friday. What's the potential problem with selling everyone's chametz on Friday?
You want to eat.
People want to continue eating it over Shabbos, right? So Rabbi Kiv Eger addresses the shaila of maybe you sit down with the non-Jew on Friday and you go through all of the different kinyanim, kinohog. However, you just delay it. You say that the chalos kinyan, the effect of this kinyan, is not going to take effect until Saturday, right before the Isser of Chametz comes in. So Saturday, we have a nishtar at 12:07 p.m. Does that work? Right, it's the best of all worlds. Everyone keeps their chametz until then. I don't have to do any real transaction on Shabbos. The Maisa Kinyan was before Shabbos. And it's taking effect on Shabbos, says Rabbi Kiv Eger. That's problematic. You can't do that. Because we view it as if you're doing the transaction on Shabbos itself, even though your Maisa Kinyan, right, the action was on Friday. Because it's taking effect on Shabbos, we view it as if you're doing it on Shabbos. That's all within the framework of Mekach u'Memchar. That's considered doing business on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Kiv Eger. Now, we saw from the Marshag, when he speaks about the issue of owning a vending machine, right? Perhaps the earliest tshuva we have on owning vending machines. The Marshag says, I personally don't agree with Rabbi Kiv Eger. It's not clear what the source of Rabbi Kiv Eger is to say that the mere fact that the chalos kinyan is taking place on Shabbos, that there's some transferring of ownership from us to you without any human interaction, that's problematic. That's a chiddush gadol, says the Marshag. A chiddush gadol. Welcome back to Dr. Sloan. However, we did note that Rav Moshe has a tshuva on the subject, and he also refers to the halacha of Rabbi Kiv Eger as a chiddush gadol, but kavar hora hazokin. Rabbi Kiv Eger paskin, don't do it, and therefore we don't do it. Okay. The Marshag says, though, even if you are concerned for Rabbi Kiv Eger not to do a kinyan before Shabbos that will take place on Shabbos, the issue of a vending machine is an entirely different story. With the vending machine, there's a lot of room to assume that even Rabbi Kiv Eger would be fine because I'm not setting anything up on Friday to go into effect on Shabbos. I happen to have my vending machines throughout Manhattan, and even though I know that Saturday might be the busiest day of the year for people to purchase all sorts of things, the very first vending machines, what did they sell?
Cigarettes,
right?
The times.
For the kids to enjoy.
No, vending
machines. Chas v'sholom. So vending machine, says the Marshag, That even Rabbi Akiva Eger would agree to, because I'm not setting something up before Shabbos to go in to effect on Shabbos. It happens to be there, and I happen to know that many people will purchase things, but I'm not involved in that transaction. So that's why, what's that?
There's no worry of tempting a Jew to buy something on Shabbos.
Oh, so we spoke about that 4 weeks ago. Eifo hayita. So we said that if you're in Tel Aviv, that could be problematic. Right, but assuming you're in a place where the majority of people are non-Jewish, then we're not concerned. We're not concerned. And we also noted at the time that having things online, if you're selling widgets, if you're selling things online where someone theoretically could go to your website on Shabbos and purchase something, would that be more like the issue of Rabbi Akiva Eger or more like the Marshag? That'd be the same exact thing as the Marshag, right? Where I have my items there, they're available. You happen to find my site, you want to purchase something, that would be just like a vending machine, and therefore having a website open, technically speaking, on Shabbos would be no halachic issue whatsoever. People are choosing to buy something, but I'm not involved with that transaction.
I have heard a caveat in that scenario of if there's like a bigger company that's having something to do with it, there's an issue of processing, meaning let's say it goes through. And if your system processes the transaction for you to have the money on Shabbos, that could be an issue. Meaning if it just happens and the order's sitting in a queue and then you process it on Sunday, that's different.
So we did, I think, spell out that there are really two issues you have to get around. One is the gezeirah of Mekach u'Memchar. Is it considered that I'm involved with a business transaction on Shabbos? And to that, the answer is no, we have the tshuva of the Marshag. A website is mamish like vending machines. But you stam have a kasha on the Marshag, which is, maybe I'm not considered doing any kind of transaction, but I'm making money on Shabbos. Right? Making money on Shabbos is a separate prohibition. That's called Schar Shabbos. How am I allowed to make money on Shabbos? So the Noda B'Yehuda has a famous tshuva where he says, the whole issue of Schar Shabbos is only if I'm getting paid for doing a service on Shabbos. I'm babysitting Shabbos afternoon from 2 to 4, then you have a real issue of Schar Shabbos. You're paying me for a service, even though the service I'm doing is not a malacha. I'm allowed to sit in your living room and read a book. But if I'm getting paid for a service I'm doing on Shabbos, that's an issue.
Like a waiter.
What's that?
Being a waiter on Shabbos.
Yeah, exactly. All of those types of cases. I'm a waiter, and then we have the shaila even doing mitzvos we spoke about. I'm a balkare, I'm
baltekeya. Providing goods is not considered a service?
No. When someone's purchasing a good from you, so then says the Noda B'Yehuda, if they're paying you for an item, so then that's not included in the Isser of Schar Shabbos. Why is a good question. But
let's say you owned a massage chair in the mall. So if someone would go and pay that and get a massage out of it, that would be different than buying cigarettes from a vending machine?
Massage chair is automatic. I'm not doing
it. No, it's like a vending machine. You put a dollar in and it gives you a
massage. I'm the owner and not actually.
But it's providing a service.
So I think the way the Noda B'Yehuda says it, he's speaking about a case of a merchatz, where someone's paying you to use your merchatz. You have a bathhouse, and you happen to have this bathhouse in Brighton Beach. So you have all the non-Jewish Russians who are using the bathhouse on Saturday. So what are they paying you for? They're paying you to use your item, but they're also paying you for all of the expenses that go into it. You know, so there the Noda B'Yehuda says that's not considered paying you for a service, because they're just paying you for your item. I think the same thing would be true with the massage chair. It's only when I'm doing something for you and I'm getting paid for that on Shabbos, then we have the problem of Schar Shabbos. So that's how we understand the Marshag, where there's no problem of doing a business transaction because I'm not involved at all. I didn't set it up to take place on Shabbos. And there's no problem of making money on Shabbos because you're paying me for my items, not for my service. And that would apply to a website as well. Someone's going on to my website, they happen to be purchasing something, I'm not involved with that, so there's no Mekka Memchar, and the money that's coming in is for an item, not for a service, there's no Schar Shabbos. Okay. Right, so there could be a third issue of Zilzel Shabbos, which is more, you know, Marasayan, it looks bad, it's a disgrace to Shabbos if people know this is a Jewish-owned website. So then you have, you know, really a third issue to contend with. But we'll talk about most cases where people don't know if these particular widgets are owned by a Jew or a non-Jew, then you wouldn't have that issue. Now, there is a question on Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Right? Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who has this chiddush, putting something into play that will take effect on Shabbos, is problematic. The question that the Avnei Nezer and many others deal with is, why is that different than anything else? Generally speaking, am I allowed to do a malacha on Shabbos? No. Right. If you learn nothing else this morning, gentlemen, no malacha on Shabbos, okay? Let me rephrase that. Am I allowed to do a malacha before Shabbos that will continue on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Beis Hillel.
Oh, what's that?
Beis Hillel.
So. Yes, exactly. So we have this machlokus, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, whether or not one is mitzuva al shvisas kelim. Shvisas kelim means, is there any issue about my machinery or my tools doing work or continuing to do work on my behalf on Shabbos? Beis Shammai, we know paskins, yes. Just like your mitzuvah and shvisas behemto, I'm not allowed to have my animal do malacha. Included in that is I'm not allowed to have my kelim do malacha. Beis Hillel, as explained by many achronim, is of the opinion, the only reason why there is a iser of shvisas behemto, I'm not allowed to have my animal do malacha, is because there's some level of hargasha. Animals are humans too. Chas v'sholem. But they're feeling the intensity of the burden. So there's an application that we have in the pasuk, Leman yanuach shorcha v'chamarecha, is teaching you that because they feel the burden of labor, then you can't allow them to do malacha. But kelim don't have feelings. This is before AI.
So, like a car doesn't have feelings.
Generally, it does. Unless it's electric.
So the assumption of this question is that if you do a human action that doesn't take place until later, we qualify that action. Finishes at a later point as being like a kli. That's the assumption of the question.
We'll give some practical cases we find in Shas and Shulchan Aruch, right? Let's say you have a massive field that requires irrigation. So you turn on the sprinkler system right before Shabbos, having all of the water go miles and miles throughout the field. So what's happening there is, you could argue, it's my kelim, my water system, that I had in the olden days was rechayim shelmayim, right? Where it would kind of run automatically through the pressure of water, and it would continue irrigating my field. So my kelim are doing the malacha of Zareya, but we paskin like Beis Hillel, that there's no problem. My kelim are allowed to do malacha. Dr. Sloan, you had a question on this?
No, I just said, so you're first establishing no AI consciousness.
We'll have to have a separate discussion on AI consciousness, yes.
They're recording you, so be careful with what you say. Shir.
Exactly. That shir will be composed by ChatGPT. Yes. So far, I haven't been impressed when it comes to real halachic issues. My good friend in Chavrusa, Rabbi Yitzchak Hecht, he tells me that he's got the newest AI, where you could mamish look up anything. So it was before I was giving a Tuesday night shir on Gilgulim. So I wanted to look up, okay, what do you have to say about Gilgulim? Mm-hmm. Tell me the different shitas and the Rishonim and the Achronim. And it was so lame. Gilgulim is a term used throughout Jewish literature referring to reincarnation. And then it listed like five svarim, not exotic at all. You know, Mesilas Yesharim and Nefesh HaChayim that kind of allude to it, but don't even really talk about it. So it's not there yet. At least in regards to real scholarship. My job is still safe, at least for the next year or two.
The AI must have been a Gilgul of the wrong call. Just the wrong stuff.
So there's no issue with starting the irrigation system before Robinson, it's just pumping water outside.
Thank you for getting us back to our track, yes.
What if you've got your irrigation system on a timer, so it's actually turning
off? So the truth is,
that's a little bit closer now.
Objectively, if you were to put something on a timer, you could argue that it's even more removed from my direct action.
Even though
because you didn't even turn it on,
nothing's happening. You're starting
before
Shabbos.
Yeah, but you turned it on.
Right, meaning that both in the old-fashioned case of just turning on the irrigation system or turning on the sprinklers and having them continue during Shabbos, you could argue what's happening now is viewed as an extension of my Maisa. When it comes to a timer, likely it's even more removed from my initial action because when I first set the timer, nothing took place. Right, the whole thing is definitely a grama. This happens to be a major debate between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman in general. Is setting a timer considered your maisa? Is it a grama? But how about we'll assume for now, just to make it simple, to understand what the kasha on Rabbi Akiva Eiger is. We'll assume that anything I do before Shabbos is okay. Right? We do have some exceptions, obviously, when it comes to Bishul, or lighting a fire, where there are concerns of Shem Yichata B'Gecholim, that if something is not cooked, K'maychol Ben Derusoy, it's not edible when Shabbos comes in, you might adjust the temperature. But those are all exceptions to the rule, and those are Dinei D'Rabbanan. On the Raisa level, there's no issue of doing something before Shabbos to go take place on Shabbos. The question, therefore, is, how can Rabbi Akiva Eiger say that by doing a Maisa Kinyan before Shabbos, and having the effect of the Kinyan take place on Shabbos, why is that any different? Why is that any worse than setting your sprinkler system?
It does seem to be a very obvious difference. The question
when you
transfer over your action, so to say, into a machine, so what you've done is finished, and the machine now takes over. So you can tie back whatever's happening on Shabbos to a kli, and we're not mitzuvah on Shvi'is Kalim. Right?
Okay, contrast to...
Contrasting to over here, the only thing that ever took place... and will
in
take
contradistinction.
Place, absolutely. Don't ask me to spell that, though. But
yeah.
Right, in contrast to this, the only action which took place was a human action. That's the only thing which is continuing and ending on Shabbos. There's nothing. You can't point to any kli and say this took over our action. It's a human action which had a postponement. So it seems to me like it's very different. Just looking at it.
Meaning, in all the other cases, I'm putting something into motion. And then we say it's no longer my action; it's the kalim. The kalim are working on my behalf. Here, I'm never programming a computer or a timer to do something for me. I'm not turning on the sprinklers. I did something, and nothing is happening until Shabbos afternoon at 12:07. At which point, maybe it's easier to say, that's the hashlama, that's the completion of my action. I never transferred my action into something else.
Also, just the nature of a kinyan is to affect change. So if, basically, I almost did nothing before Shabbos, it's, meaning the nature of performing a kinyan is to have a chalos, right? That you want to affect whatever you're trying to acquire or change hands or transact.
Okay.
So maybe I wrote a contract before Shabbos, but the actual kinyan of what I tried to accomplish is really only taking place on Shabbos.
I'm saying, but that would be the same with the sprinkler system. Maybe I just turned on the sprinkler a minute before Shabbos, but the main point of having the irrigation is that it should actually water all of the crops, right? You could say something similar.
Which started before Shabbos.
Okay.
So yes. By that logic, though, assuming all that's true and AI doesn't have feelings, you could put Shabbos mode on your Tesla, and at 7 o'clock,
where's the yellow flag?
No matter what, it goes to shul within the Erev, and then at noon, it comes back no matter what, and you better get out of the way, or be in it.
Yellow flag. Yes. It's a good question. We have to come back to the AI discussion.
That's all, like, you just...
I don't want to go there.
Triggering anything. That's the
I don't want to go there. We'll get back, and we'll have a whole discussion on AI.
Okay.
Right. So we spoke about this in the previous year. Rav Moshe's concern for time clocks is very much like the Rambam says, why we have a mirror lakum. If malacha is happening all around you, it definitely makes the whole idea of malacha more kal be'enav. Anyway, so here's what the Avnei Nezer says, and this is very interesting and very relevant. He says that the reason why Rabbi Akiva Eiger feels that it's problematic to do an action of a kinyan before Shabbos, having it take effect on Shabbos, is because, right, similar to what Rabbi Eisenberg was saying, we view that chalos kinyan, when it's actually happening on Shabbos day, as the completion of my action. The reason for that, says the Avnei Nezer, right, here's where he adds some texture to it. The reason for that is because, theoretically, I could retract any moment. I'm not doing something that just, I'm now being misalik myself. I'm removing myself from whatever is happening. Because I could be chozer any moment up until 1207, we view it as whatever is happening is all me doing it. In contrast to when you turn on the water, when you turn on the fire, when you turn on the AC and your kelim are doing malacha on your behalf, I have no shaychus to that thing. I have no connection to that kli. I happen to turn it on right before Shabbos, but now it's doing its thing. I'm not doing that, and I'm not mitzuva al shvisas kelim. When it comes to a kinyan, that's me. The reason that's considered me up until the point of the transferring of ownership is because I could retract. It comes out, according to the Avnei Nezer, a very interesting nafka mina lahalacha. If I, theoretically, or if we stipulate that there's no backsies, right? Once you do the kinyan now, forever hold your peace. You can't retract. So then, theoretically, even Rebbe Kiva Egger would agree that would be okay. That would be the same thing as setting your sprinklers. Ayin Shambadu Ketiv, he addresses that. Okay, so we have Rebbe Kiva Egger, we have the Marshag, and now we have the Avnei Nezer, who's giving us a Hagdora, really more of a definition of where the problem of Rebbe Kiva Egger applies. It's only in a situation where I can't retract. Sorry. The problem is only where I can retract, and therefore it's considered me up until the very last moment. Am I making any sense? Yeah. A little bit, okay. So maybe just some practical cases. I am about to lease a house. Now the Rambam writes that Tzchirus is the same thing as a real kinyan. It makes no difference if I'm purchasing something or if I'm renting or leasing something. It's all included in that restriction of doing business on Shabbos. So we sign a contract, and the contract says the lease begins the first of the month, and the first of the month happens to be Saturday. Is that problematic? We're signing this a week before.
Well, you can't retract that.
What's that?
You can't retract
that. Oh, so if it's the type of document where as soon as you both sign, you are achroy, you're responsible, you're bound by this contract. So then according to the Avnei Nezer's interpretation of Rabbi Kiva Egger, that's okay. Because you've been totally, you were misalik yourself. You removed yourself from that transaction. So even though the lease is officially starting on the first of the month, but I'm not involved with that.
But then you could do a Shabbos wedding saying our marriage isn't official until this Shabbos. And then you sign it in advance and you're bound and you can't pull out, right?
Meaning if we do a ceremony on Wednesday, right? We do a ceremony on Wednesday, right? That it should be chal, that should take place on Shabbos. What do you say about that?
In our day and age.
It's called a get. Actually, it's called a get. There's no backseat on the
kitchen. It comes before the
kitchen. Still a chal.
Okay, so we'll have to get back to the marriage case. That's a good one. Okay. See, in the olden days, what they would commonly do, generally you can't get married on Shabbos because that's a form of kinyan. What they would do, though, is they would actually have the ceremony of the kedushin and the suin take place on Friday, and then they would have the suda celebrating the marriage Friday night. Why would they do that? Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive to make a wedding. You're going to have a Friday night suda anyway, so we'll just celebrate Friday night. There are discussions in the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Samach Gimel about a person who's about to go to a wedding Friday afternoon, and they might not make it back in time to light candles. So what do they do? If it's before Plaga Mincha, it's too early to light candles. Are they allowed to ask a non-Jew to light candles for them to fulfill their mitzvah of Hadlakas? And there's the whole Shaila. Anyway, but if you have a contract where theoretically you could back out up until the first of the month, so then according to Rabbi Kiva Egger, that would be a great example of something that's problematic. When you look at the document, you say the lease is starting the first of the month and either of us can back out until then. And I look at my phone and the first of the month is Saturday, Rabbi Kiva Egger would mamish be shouting at me from his grave, "Don't do it!" And then Mashag would say, "Okay, we don't really paskin like Rabbi Kiva Egger." But Rav Moshe would say, "Kvar hora hazokein." We have to be concerned for Rabbi Kiva Egger. Okay, I'm saying, but if officially you cannot back out, then according to the Avnei Nezer, even Rabbi Kiva Egger would be okay with that. Oh, that would be fine, unless you live in Alaska. Right. Okay. So one more interesting halacha lemaisa application is, let's say there's an online bid.
eBay.
Right? Kalaymar eBay. So how does that work? It says that the bid is going to come to a close Saturday at 3:30 p.m. And it's Thursday afternoon. I want to put in my my bid. Am I allowed to do that? Huh? So let's think about it for a second.
It depends on how you do the bid.
Well, you could retract.
You could back out.
You could retract, and somebody could retire.
What you're buying.
It's not for sure.
Definitely back out on your bid.
So there is a very interesting clause that when it comes to eBay, as soon as you give a bid, there's a legal obligation to purchase. Meaning to say, if you are the highest bid, then you've obligated yourself to purchase from when? From the time you gave that bid.
You can't back out.
Nope. As soon as you give that bid, you are obligated to purchase. Does that make it better or worse for those of us who try to observe Shabbos?
That makes it better if it's Chol Thursday.
Oh, that makes it better because now you could say nothing's happening on Shabbos.
Right. It's just that
the guy chose to end his bid. Nobody gave a higher bid, so I win. But when do I win? Thursday. Right. Oh, Brera. Right, but that's
a problem if it closes. But even if you're only obligated from the time of the closing bid.
So if you were only obligated from the time of the closing bid,
and I can't back out.
Well, there you'd have a different issue. You can't back out because it's Shabbos. You have no way to back out. So mainly you're locked in anyway.
No, but that's more of like a practical. As long as theoretically you could back out, we would say you're connected to that Kenyan. Now the truth is, even if you couldn't back out, let's say the legality of eBay was, I'm just throwing in my offer, and I'm allowed to retract that offer up until the actual time of closing. So then is it so simple that Rabbi Kiva Egger would say, "Oh, sir, you can't do that. You can't do that."
There is always a chance that somebody else will outbid me. I'm not buying something.
So you could argue this is a little bit different than Rabbi Kiva Egger, and maybe this is a little bit more similar to the case of the Marshag with the vending machine. It's kind of in the middle because I am putting something into play that could take effect on Shabbos.
But it could be retracted by somebody else if they outbid me.
It could be outbid, right? And ultimately, I'm putting my thing out there. What's really happening on Shabbos is you're choosing to accept my offer. Right? So it's not the exact same case as Rabbi Kiva Egger, where we're doing everything right now and the only thing we're waiting for is for the effect to take place on Shabbos. But yet it's not the exact same as the Marshag, because the Marshag, I'm not doing anything on Shabbos. I just put the vending machine out there. So that would be an interesting discussion. But practically speaking, because you're obligating yourself from the time of the bid, it would be mutter.
I assume you just can't set a bot to snipe the bid.
Who?
What's that?
Snipe it?
You set the computer that it doesn't bid and it wastes the last second.
They have
spent
the bid.
And bots that you can set for that.
It pipes in for you.
It's like a computer program that runs on its own.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
But
every time you set your thing on Thursday, this is what I want to do. Just whatever's happening.
But eBay doesn't know that. Your bot knows that. So eBay, it could be a various set of results.
Saying so in that case where you're setting up your Kalim, So my machinery, so to speak, is working on my behalf. But so I'm not mitzuvah shvisas kelim, but maybe you would view it as
made a transaction.
There's a transaction that's taking place. You know, it's similar to the question of, and this comes up often for someone like myself. I have a large portfolio of different investments and stuff.
I'm not trading.
We have a different dinyanim. So I have different brokers and different types of investments. But one particular broker, he likes to have at least a week in advance notice, right? I'll tell him, once it gets up to, let's say, 45, you should sell. Sell. Now, I never tell him to sell on Shabbos, but if theoretically it gets to 45 on Saturday,
he's going to sell.
Good thing the market's not open.
Oh, so you could argue, the good thing the market's not open on Saturday, but if it's Yom Tov, then it's a Shaila.
Or if it's Bitcoin.
What's that? If it's Bitcoin, right. So that happens to be an interesting question. If I say, when it gets to 45, I want you to sell, and it comes out on the first day of Shavuos. So...
By the way, you're crazy for not waiting until it hits 60.
That's not the other one. That's a Shliach to wait for me.
That's the delivery driver issue.
We have a precedent that a Shliach can buy and sell for me.
Exactly. That was that?
We have a precedent that a Shliach can buy.
Oh. So Reb Weiss is saying that if theoretically, if you hire someone, Shulchan Aruch speaks about the case where you say, you know, I need five poodles. Mamar speaks about the case of poodles. And you know that the Yom HaShuk, right, the day where, you know, all the dogs come out and they sell the fancy poodles, happens to be on Shabbos. So you're still allowed to send him to go buy those items for you. So Lechora, would this be the same thing? I'm just saying, sell my stock when it gets to 45. Elamai, even if I know somehow, I'll pi nevua, that it's going to get to 45 on Shabbos, but I'm not telling you to do the malacha for me on Shabbos. All right, so it sounds similar.
Does it go the other way around? You can sell your five poodles on Shabbos? Have your shliach go to the market and sell them? Or it's only because
It'd be the same thing. As long as I'm not being koveya melachto l'Shabbos, I'm not saying I need you to buy or sell these items for me on Shabbos. I'm saying I need you to buy or sell. If it happens to come out on Shabbos, okay, but you're my koblin.
No, you know that the time.
Even if theoretically I know, yes.
So if there's an auto auction that's only taking place on a Saturday, I cannot ask somebody to go buy it for me. Meaning if it's the one designated day is definitely Shabbos, even if I don't say anything about the fact that it's Shabbos, I would not be allowed to appoint a shliach.
That would be problematic. Because that's basically koveya melachto l'Shabbos. That would be problematic.
But if it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I tell him to go, then he can go, and if he happens to go on Shabbos, it's not a problem.
Or you could argue, in our case, I'm telling him to sell it at 45, and even if it gets to 45 on Saturday, and that's the only day he could be mekayim my instructions, you could argue that's okay as well. Anyway, it's been a fun run over here. We'll have to speak of a different topic next time.